Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM Port Huron.
Jeremy, good morning.
Good morning.
It is dry. The ark has landed. We're out on the dry soil. It is good to have you here. And of course, I have to have my Noah's ark stole on this day for all the rain that we have been having. In the course of this broadcast, just to let you know, our anonymous donor has made possible this broadcast. We are pleased to announce that all of our radio broadcasts for the remainder services of 2016 are fully funded. What a difference from 5 months ago when we had like virtually all of these Sundays open. So we thank you very much for the response to make this possible, this radio broadcast. And if any of you listen from the community, you're more than welcome to give support, contribution, if you desire. Obviously, it's not mandatory, but it certainly helps support the ministry of this radio broadcast and likewise its podcast. Now, in terms of within the congregation, these last 2 weeks has taken a toll because 4 of our members have passed away. I've officiated all 4 services. 2 of them, which is kind of interesting, actually all 4 were cremations. 2 of them, the cremains went somewhere else. The last 2 for Roger Taylor and for Carl Belger from our 8:30 service are interred now at Our Savior's cremains out on the front lawn. So they stay close to hand with us, but all 4 will be dearly missed, not only for their family, but in the worshiping life of our Savior. And we certainly appreciate their lives. Their lives of faith and testimony of the importance. How many people at age 99, with cane in hand and daughter beside Carl Belger, would still be walking to church from the car to here and then back to the car and then go back home? It stopped as he became less ambulatory this year, but he was still coming this year to worship for the 8:30 service, not a convenient time at 11. That's a man of faith and a willingness to gather with the people of God. One of the characteristics, Doug McLean, who took home communion with Carl, to Carl and Rose, as I did as well, we both experienced, as maybe some of you did if you got to know Carl, and that is, he'd always start a conversation, as did his wife Rose, who passed 3 years ago, by saying, "So how's your family? How are the people at the church?" Rather than talking about himself. And that wasn't to avoid himself, it's just they had a heart of gold, and they asked and cared about the people of our Savior. And that's what it takes to make the body of Christ solid. So, this day we're going to learn, for some of you knew him as a hymn a day, but we'll speak about that later. It's a beautiful Eucharistic hymn for the hymn of the day. So our worship begins with Confession of Sin. If you'll please rise, page 1. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the only Sovereign, who dwells in light, Christ Jesus, who came to save sinners, the Holy Spirit, who lives within us. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. God of overflowing grace, we come to you with repentant hearts. Forgive us for shallow thankfulness, Forgive us for passing by the ones in need. Forgive us for setting our hopes on fleeting treasures. Forgive us our neglect and thoughtlessness. Bring us home from the wilderness of sin and strengthen us to serve you in all that we do and say. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. There is joy in heaven over every sinner who repents. So by the grace of God, in Christ Jesus, who gave himself up for us all, your sins are forgiven and you are made free. So rejoice with the angels and with one another. We are at home in God's mercy, and now and forevermore. Amen. We sing our entrance hymn, On Eagle's Wings.
Thank you.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Savior, the reconciling love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Hymn of praise this day, surely the presence. Be with you. Let us pray. If you can, join me, please. God among us, we gather in the name of your Son to learn love for one another. Keep your feet from evil paths. Turn our minds to your wisdom and our hearts to the grace revealed in your Son, Jesus Christ, Savior and Lord. Amen. You'll please be seated. First reading by Marcia from the Old Testament prophet.
Amos was called by God to prophesy in the northern kingdom of Israel. Peace and prosperity in Israel led to corrupt business practices and oppression of the poor. The prophet declares that God will not tolerate such a situation. The first reading comes from Amos chapter 8, verses 4 through 7. Hear this, you that trample on the needy and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath so that we may offer wheat for sale? We will make the ephah small and the shekel great, and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, and selling the sweepings of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their deeds. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you. Our psalm of the day is Psalm 113, and we read it in unison, please. Good morning. Hallelujah. Give praise, you servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be blessed from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its going down, let the name of the Lord be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, God's glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who sits enthroned on high, but stoops to behold the heavens and the earth? The Lord takes up the weak out of the dust, lifts up the poor from the ashes, enthroning them with the rulers of the people. The Lord makes the woman of a childless house to be a joyful mother of children. Hallelujah. Second reading.
Pastoral epistles offer insight into how early Christians understood many practical matters such as church administration and worship. The church's focused prayer for others is an expression, a single-minded passion God has toward us in Jesus. Our second reading is from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, there is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus, himself human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested to the right time. For this I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. If you're able to stand, we sing the gospel acclamation. The Gospel reading of the day, continuation from the teachings of our Lord Jesus, his parables, the lost, as well as the judgment on those who consider themselves condemning him for his approach to sinners. From Luke, the 16th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus said to his disciples, there was a rich man who had been a manager, whose charges were brought to him that this man was squandering the property. So the manager summoned his servant, said to him, what is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer. Then the manager said to himself, what am I going to do now that my master is going to take this position away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig. And I'm certainly ashamed to be. Oh, I know what I'll do. I've decided to do this. When I'm dismissed as a manager, people may welcome me into their home. So, summoning his master's debtors who were under him, one by one, he asked the first, how much do you owe my master? He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. So this dishonest servant said to him, take your bill, sit down quickly, make it from 100 to 50. Then he asked another one, how much do you owe? He replied, 100 containers of wheat. So the dishonest man said to him, well, take your bill, make it now 80 instead of 100. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. So I'm going to tell you, make friends for yourself by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they will welcome you into your eternal home. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much. Whoever is dishonest in a very little, is going to be dishonest in very much. If then you have not been faithful with dishonest wealth, how are you going to be entrusted with that which is true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who's going to give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Dear friends, in Christ Jesus, God's grace, God's peace, God's mercy be with us this day. Amen. If you like to follow the sermon outline, inside, back, cover, track through the scriptures. If you had to identify one characteristic of why people either stay away from churches or Christians, find fault with it, what do you think it would be?
There were studies done in the 70s looking at inactive or less active people, why they don't come to church. One of the prevailing things that was heard over and over again in the interviews is they're hypocrites. They don't do what they say they're going to do, and they don't hold true to that which they aspire to be in Jesus Christ. Now, there's always a host of other reasons. There's clusters of reasons, in fact, when research has been done further. But that seems to be the prevailing criticism, that Christians just don't do it. They gather, as the Old Testament prophet says, in their solemn assemblies on worship day, Sabbath, and then they go out and act as if they had no Heavenly Father and they were orphans. Amos leads off the lessons again. We've heard him just a week ago and a couple weeks prior to that. He says, what's up with you people? You were once nobodies, and your God fashioned you to be his people. He has brought you to this place, this time, and he wants you to care for the people around you. You wealthy, do you not see you have responsibility for those who are not as blessed? We're in this venture together as a nation. This is not about you. It's about the people of God. Obviously, Israel did not respond appropriately as God desired. And the nation was brought to its knees, destroyed, and they experienced the judgment of God. So too, in the Amos passage, he speaks very strongly about the impending judgment if the people do not change. And he asks them to examine their motives. Don't you realize their culture had to have been pretty bad? You are buying and selling people as if they were a pair of shoes. If you watch the media and the ELCA for the last 3-5 years, one of the causes of the women of the ELCA, of the church at large, and other believers, is this whole thing about human trafficking. It's hard to believe that people would buy and sell other people for a few shekels, but they do. It's back in operation today, and I don't think it ever stopped in 3,000 years, but it's more prevalent. People are forced into sexual enslavement, bought and sold for slavery, transported out of this country to other nations to do the beck and will of other people, and taken and stolen from their lives, but also their families' lives. How can people be so depraved? How can people treat people as objects for their own currency, their own accumulation of wealth, and not human dignity? The church must speak to that situation, as well as the culture. It's the realization that human life does matter, it has worth and value, we are made in the image of God, and we should be treated all with dignity and respect. When a culture, a society, a nation does not value human life, it's on the slippery slope of destruction, for it lives a life alien from God. You go to the second reading. In that you have the wonderful words of the Apostle Paul writing to his partner in ministry. He's mentoring him to be a pastor, talking to Timothy. He says, there's a certain quality that should be in your style of life practice, and it's a life of prayer. It's not just praying for yourself, which a lot of people think prayer means. Mm-mm. You start at the end. One of the formulas I like to give children in children's sermons, it's Jesus, others, and you. The acronym is J-O-Y. That's the source of joy. is when Christ comes first. Your prayers for others, as I indicated about Carl, it always asks about other people, not artificially, but sincerely, to listen about how others are doing. And then only last, in humility, but certainly recognizing that each of us have rights and responsibilities too, we pray for ourselves. And so Paul's instruction to Timothy and to the people he's going to minister to is, when you pray, pray for the leaders of your nation. Good Lord, going to this election. You might wonder if prayer will even help. It will. God is still acting in human history in spite of what we may think is going on. God is not going to leave us totally desolate. And the work that God does is always hidden. That was Martin Luther's principle. God does the hidden thing, not what you think God is doing. So just when you think he's over here, sleight of hand, he was over here. So don't prejudge God. In the course of human life and societies, when Paul says to Timothy, pray that there will be peace, not among you only, but for the life of your nation, that there will be godliness and dignity. Why to do it? Because this is pleasing and acceptable in God's sight. That's why we should be doing everything decently and in order to please our Heavenly Father for the things he has given to us and what he legitimately expects of us. To care for the others, not just ourselves. To live in peace. And I always liked another phrase the Apostle Paul uses later on in another writing. He says, as much as it is possible for you, live at peace with all people. We know in real time, you can't live at peace with everybody. But as much as it rests on your shoulders, responsibility, live at peace with one another. Let God handle the rest. But quit trying to either to defend God or defend ourselves. He is our shepherd. He is our protector. He is our defender. Live peaceably with other people. The gospel text. Our Lord Jesus is teaching a parable. Oh, is this different? Most pastors cringe when we look at this text. I can honestly say I sort of do, but it diminishes after years of preaching. Because it takes a key to unlock this one. What's Jesus saying? He's teaching about a man who did something really great, right? He was a dishonest man. Yeah. But who is he dishonest with? Other dishonest people. Okay. I don't think Jesus is calling us the dishonest. I think he is rather saying in this text, when it comes time to cover your tail, to make sure you have provisions, you're going to do anything as a resource and bring it in regardless of your morality, regardless of your standards. But not to be with the sons of light, the children of God. You, the church, who follow in my footsteps as I walk to the cross, you must be as dedicated to me and following my Father as the dishonest servant is to do what he does. Now, what does that recompute to be? It means, you know, I listen to a lot of people say, well, we're only small, we don't have much, we don't have many. It's like you are mighty if you're a people of faith. If you really believe God is on your side, and if God isn't on your side, you better find out where God's side is and get there. Okay? And if God is on our side and we're on God's side, we have connection, right? And we have access to power. Reality that none of us can see with eye or understand with brain. But God can unleash forces that you and I can't see. Have you ever prayed for somebody? Maybe you had an issue with them, and you prayed somehow that this would be set to rest, that life could go on without firing volleys over the walls, and just let peace ensue and let changes unfold. You know, and I know, in the course of life, you can't change other people. When it comes to therapy for those who are alcoholics, people in recovery, or their spouses, the mantra, what we try to say to people, is you cannot change anybody. You can only change you. That's your domain. But as you change, people will respond to your change. It's convoluted, it's not direct, but it's true. When we're sensitive to Christ and live a life pleasing to Him, it seems we should look for that peace. And sometimes it's not with words, it's from a distance, right? We pray for them because we know if we were face to face, we'd be arguing. So what can you do? Powerless? Is the church powerless against this monolith of the world? No way. Why? We look at the sin that abounds and we say, where's this world going, Lord? And God turns the question around and says, where are you taking it? Are you letting go of the reins? Am I working through you? Are you trying to do this on your own, or are you only complaining and belly aching? Are you opening my power through your life? When that happens, things change. Of course, in my ministry and people I've had to deal with, believe me, they don't all pat me on the shoulder. They usually stab me in the back. Several of those people, when I have focused on them in prayer, it's interesting how God works when people don't know you're praying for them. It's really powerful. I have fasted for days for some people who just had an attitude against me and the church and Jesus Christ. Maybe in my lifetime I may not see the 100% reconversion in their life as believers again. But I'll tell you what, I've seen increments. When we approach next Sunday of Back to Church Sunday, it is the church's obligation, each and every baptized member, not pastors. Let's stop saying it's the pastor's job. I never entered the ordained ministry believing it was the pastor's job to do 100% of the ministry. That's not scripture. It is the ministry of the pastor, if you read scripture, to equip the saints to do the ministry. That's not scapegoating. That's not getting out of responsibility. It's back on the ministers to train you to do it. Because the multiplying effect is enormous than one person. Each of us have people we know. Now, we have in studies about churched and the unchurched, the longer we are associated in a Christian community, most of our friends are belonging either of a congregation or fellow believers of the faith. So the unchurched in our experience or life or sphere diminishes the more we become active. It's an inverse relationship, but it's a good one, except if the church doesn't do its ministry. The gentleman who is here, I could tell, I did not bring him in. In case some of you think I sabotaged you to test you. I didn't. I haven't seen him for 7 years, and if you haven't been in Our Savior for 7 years, he came to the 11 o'clock service. And he obviously had his gear on. Usually he would bring his underwear on the outside and his rubber ducky around his chest. And people would stare at him. He comes in during the service and he exits whenever he's ready to leave. This is Christ in our midst. And I was so glad Hope came up to give him a hymnal and a bulletin. And you saw how I tried to encourage him to respond to me. I slowed down for his sake. He has issues. But I don't know any one of us sitting here who doesn't have issues. This is a hospital for sinners. Like Paul says in last week's text, and I'm the chief of all the sinners. So I'm not going to throw stones. God communicates to us in many different ways, and even if you don't ask anybody, but I pray you will, pray for them. That God in Jesus Christ and the faith statement will be rekindled in their heart. For God is alive, and God does care how we behave. And God wants these words we speak in worship to be lived in our lives. Anything else proves the point of the unchurched, we're hypocrites. I don't want to be known as a hypocrite. I don't like that tag. And I think the Church of Jesus Christ has to be true to its beliefs. That God welcomes the sinner. And I'm the biggest of the sinners. Amen. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us, remain with us always. Amen. Hymn of the day, I've asked Jeremy to play it through one full time. We have sung it before, back in the days when Sharon was still with us. We're bringing it back because it's such a beautiful hymn. It's out of the Blue Book with One Voice, so it's not brand new. You satisfy the hungry heart.
we receive our gifts for the work of the Lord's church. Within your now, some refreshers and reminders. First off, flowers donated by Ray and Sue Shinosky for their wedding anniversary. Lawn care by Bob and Pat McMorrin. Greatly appreciate that support as well. Here's a coffee hour after the second service, as we seek to do during the school year now, and kind of let you know we have that fellowship. At the same time, do let you know the coffee hour next year, next week, is the potluck that we traditionally called Rally Day. So KFC chicken plus the dishes you bring will make up our meal for next Sunday, September 25th. It's back to church Sunday. Now is the time for this nation to come back to the Lord. And many people, we had our downtown historical churches meeting this Wednesday, and they were saying to themselves, as we saw, as you drive through the community, the oneness of the congregations who can fellowship together. To call this nation not to a particular congregation, but back to faith in Jesus Christ and a place where they found Christ. This is not proselytizing. That's the word about where you try to steal sheep from each church. This is about finding Christ and through his people gathering in worship regularly to proclaim him. You also see when you open up the now, ministry has been nonstop for virtually 3 years, soon to be in April. And as we encourage the fulfillment of our commitments, so we know we are on strong footing, we also have to make some decisions about next year with May 1st. So we're looking at options. You will please note that the contributions to the giving is most likely in no way diminishing the general fund, because this has been going on for previous 2 years. Doug reported to us at the congregation there's been a diminishing as our membership has died. And people have moved from this community for us to share in picking up the reins to support this congregation, lest we weaken our ministry and our presence to this community. On the prayer list, kind of let you know, Sharon Ruff is going to be having her second knee replacement tomorrow. Keep Sharon in your prayers. And I'm sure Terry could have benefited from it too, because he's the caregiver when she comes home. So in those courses, the family also shares in it. I was with Lois Langhoff on Friday. She's probably listening to us right now. She is recovering at home. She describes that the pain she had had prior to being in the hospital in her back and at the hospital, at least on Friday, was gone. So she is going to be being under advisement with the doctors where things will go from here and how our life will proceed and strength. She was uncertain if she'd be at worship this day, but she was hoping she would be. So, kind of give an update on her. We are calling by October 1st, if people are going to see an American Christmas celebration with Spurl, who has been coming to Southeast Michigan for 30 years, of which 7 years we have participated and taken people there, and Mark will make possible the transportation with preferred charters. We're asking a $15 donation for that. The ticket is $39, and whatever the meal is you choose to buy down there. Trying to make it as affordable and as close to actual cost or below. So hopefully, if you're able, please let us know. You secure your reservation with payment, because Spurl and the organization obviously don't give out tickets free of charge. So we live with those earthly limitations, okay. Many other things in your bulletin. Continue to keep Donna Taylor in your prayers, as well as the family of Carl Belger with his passing, as this week has been hard on all families.
Our worship continues as our gifts are presented. We sing our offertory, please.
Merciful God, as grains of wheat scattered upon the hills were gathered together to become one bread, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory through Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen. Rejoicing in the Spirit's work among us, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. Giver of the feast, bless your church and all who hunger and thirst. Nourish us richly with your word and meal, and send us as signs of your living presence in the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Ruler of the earth, bring forth an abundant harvest from fields, orchards, and gardens. Renew fields that will soon lie fallow. Feed and protect all wild creatures. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of the nations, we pray for places in the world affected by conflict, war, and turmoil. We pray that your perfect peace and order be restored. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of our weary years, we remember before you those among us who are sick or who are recovering from illness or surgery. And we remember in our prayers today, Carol Weaver, Andrew Marino, Bob Peterson, Jim Fisher, Mary Click, Lucy Johnson, Sean Carroll, Lois Langoff, Chuck Fowler, Linda Sullivan, Bibi and Sahib Abadullah, and Sharon Ruff. Lord, we ask that you would comfort the families of Roger Taylor and Carl Belger with their passing. We pray for our homebound, Vern Pickert, Barb Palmer, Sly Langoff, and Helen Beach. Lord, we ask that you would hold the men and women serving our nation in your protective arms, including two from our church family, Tristan Morrison and Rob Nolan. Return them home safely. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God, our beginning and our ending, we thank you for hope even in the midst of despair. Visit this assembly with your light and truth. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of our silent tears, we remember the faithful departed who make up the great cloud of witnesses. Gather us all in praise around your throne. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Into your hands, O God, we do commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord, our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and he gave thanks. He broke it, he gave it to his disciples. He said, take and eat, for this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the meal was over, he took the cup of wine. He gave thanks and he gave it for all to drink. And he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. It's given and shed for you and for all people
for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me. So gathered into one by his Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Take hold of a life that really is life. Come and take your place at his table. Thanks be to God. During the distribution, we sing. Please come forward. You may be seated if it's not your time. Body of Christ for you, take and eat. The blood of our Lord shed for you, take and eat. Depart in our thank you.
Sunday morning worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.